When I was 15, I had this dream that I was an eagle, and my arms were these gigantic wings. My legs and my feet were these talons. They were stronger than my feet. My mouth was a long beak and my jaw. My eyes were shining and bright and see for miles. I was flying over this vast ocean, flying for years. Fearlessly, I felt that I didn't need anything, and nothing could stop me. I had no limitations. I started flying towards the land, and I flew over cities and trees and deserts, and I got to a part of the land that scared me. This sort of red, it looked like Utah. It was these red rocks, this collection of like sandy rocks everywhere, and it was so red and these narrow tunnels. And I shuddered with my eagle body. I was scared, and I knew that I was too afraid to go to this one place after feeling completely fearless everywhere else. So I flew away, and couldn't stop thinking about it, and I kept circling back, trying to push my fear a little bit further, a little bit further, so that I didn't have to hold the fear. I could investigate it, but there was this deathly grip over my heart, and I kept flying away and swooping back just to see how far I could go into the scare zone. And what was it really that I was afraid of that I sensed so deeply? I've had other dreams that I was an eagle or a bird. I've had many dreams that I was that. Or a phoenix or some kind of creature. I once had a dream that there was this creepy monster that was pulling me into a closet and licking my back. And I was so scared, I felt paralyzed. And then something deep inside of me, like a howl, like a scream, came through, and my arms elongated into wings, and my feet and legs into talons, sharp talons, and my eyes bright, and my beak sharp. And I turned around and fought this demon creature. And it ran away from me, and I flew towards it, and I tore it apart with my talons and beak. It's an amorphous thing, hard to really see what it looks like, but what the fuck am I talking about, you know? And why are you listening? Here we go. So, I think the eagle is a symbol of strong spirit. All creatures of the air are often representing spirit, you know. Eagle is kind of a predatory spirit. It's the idea of aligning with something that is a predator is to feel in control, to feel that you don't need to be afraid, that you're strong and capable. And these are all attributes that most of us at our best want to feel. Independent, strong, creative, adventurous, unafraid. And like the eagle in my dreams, there are moments where you get caught up. There's this endless thing, and then suddenly there's this fucking thunderbolt in the heart that says, here, we're going to take you, we're going to bring you down by your ankles, down, down into hell. And this is the lover's card. And of course, it's not so cheery, right? These are my own stories, and what I think the lover's card means to me. In a reading, I think it is a versatile, it's a versatile word, lovers, in tarot. Like words in our language, they can mean many different things. Same with tarot. Sometimes the lovers just really, if you break it down into a little map, it means you're going about your business and you see something that you can't quite get around and you have to have an engagement with it. You have a karmic connection, so to speak. So this often gets interpreted as romantic connection. And that's where it gets tricky, because of the troubadours, basically. We have this concept of courtly love that we're constantly deconstructing and reconstructing, but we're still working with the same template all the goddamn motherfucking time. So we have this essential, we're still building on the same platform, you know? When we say, oh, I'm polyamorous, oh, I'm asexual, we're all still kicking the same ball around, and that is based on courtly love. And that is what we apply to our perception of what the lover's card means in tarot. Oh, this person is coming into your life. They're a lover. If they're a sexual lover, let's say, make it easy with the first connotation. This is a sexual lover coming into your life. This is significant. And then we fill in the bank. We fill in the blanks with the Mad Lib in our brain with all the fucking specifications. We're like, I'm different. So in this blank spot, I'm going to say that they are this type of person that I'm attracted to. And we're going to have this kind of life. And we're going to have this kind of dog. And then you read it back like, aren't I funky? Like, this template has been reconstructed to my sassy will. But you're still dealing with the same fucking script. Alright, so clearly I have a chip on my shoulder, as per usual, and I would like to say a different interpretation on the experiment of the lover's card and the soul evolution of the fool's journey into enlightenment, which is tarot. So, this is like a Groundhog's Day. Each card shows up and it has the same fucking layout diorama, and we redress it and reconstruct it for what our specific environment is requiring of us in that moment. And then we see that there's this invisible spiritual stencil that is bigger than the color of the paint on the wall, that is bigger than the face in front of us. And we start to see and recognize the shape constructed of how things go. So the lovers is the Groundhog's Day of two people coming together. And that is fucking it. Sometimes I say a person and a noun coming together, noun being person, place, or thing. But that is it. And we can't say if that's a lasting connection, but we can say it's a significant connection. So, in my many years of doing tarot, I have pulled this card many times. So, part of the game of it, and this is the long game, is collecting data, because there's a predictive measure to tarot. So, you pull the cards and you see, all right, that's what's gonna happen, I guess. Let's look for that. It unfolds, and you're like, oh, I did not understand the nuance of that. I'm going to remember that for next time, and so on and so on. So you start to catalog all this stuff up in your head, like, oh, okay, this is the variables. And then you start to do the math on it, and you surmise, okay, where does it boil down? What is the common ties here? What's really being spoken through this? Because when we are intelligent, we're making complicated things more simple, not simple things more complicated. So the flux of abundance and details and collecting everything and trying all the things and the maximalism of it all, I'm about it. But for what? To boil it down to its core. And that is the resource we can turn over in the blink of an eye. Like, I got this. I understand. I could take this inherently within my character and understand this and apply it to anything I see before me. So, the Lovers card can come up for people when they're about to meet a significant romantic partner. And sometimes people see that and get excited, and that is fine. But then this is where I get concerned as a tarot reader. I feel like you need to have a little integrity in what you tell people, because they're whether or not they even are a believer, you, the act of it all, it's a hits some part of the subconscious mind, you know, and they're suggestible without even realizing it. So you have to be very careful of what you say, because sometimes they're like, oh, this relationship, it means so much to me. And then I got that tarot card reading, and it all seems like we're supposed to be together. Well, what does it all mean? What's it all for if it comes to an end? Right? So, as you might have imagined, I've had many lovers, but I'm here at the end of the world, about to die alone. Great. For fucking what? So, when I look back at all of the Lovers cards that I've pulled for myself, and how excited I was, and how much purpose I put in all of those things, and at the end, it was like, ta-da! You're stupid! You thought this shit was gonna be cool, and it was not. Goodbye. And that's a lot of it. Some of it's like, you got me, alright, what's up? Like, you're still my friend, whatever. But you go into the mirage zone, and what is that? What is that zone? What is that fucking portal door that is the Lover's card? Let's go ahead and turn the knob and look in there. What is the template for the Lover's card? What is the thing that we think that we are looking at and are actually seeing? Ta-da! It's your fucking parents, kids. It's your parents. So, your parents and their parents and their parents and their parents and their parents. And together, all these souls and bodies woven like a braid through time and space going on, stretching over the entire globe. Okay? This is the Lover's card. It is the meeting and conjoining of two people. And then, with the possible connection of procreation. There are other things that can happen from two people coming together. No shit, I said in the beginning. There are many things that can happen for two people coming together, but for our purposes, I'm going to stick to procreation. You could also start a bagel shop, write a book, have a fun conversation, and then say, see you later, hop off the bus. I don't know. There's other applications there, but I think the primordial meaning is going to be procreation, ancestry, to souls and bodies somehow being compelled to come together and make a new individual body. Freaky magic. So, if you think back and look back and look back and look back, how different characteristics of these people, and we can't say every relationship, all of the qualities of these people, you know, these people that are within us, they go back so far that we can't put their faces together. We don't know what they did. We don't know, you know, if they had bad breath or, like, were rude or, you know, like, we don't know anything. So all we know is what has come from what their connection was. They might have hated each other. They might have only known each other for an evening. They might have been together for 25 years and loved each other deeply and were the most beautiful, happy people of all time. How could we know? But I do know that their kids watched them and were influenced by them, and that deeply wove into the subconscious mind and created a template for that little person to find the next victim in the braid daisy chain of misery that is human existence. And that person that they find has their own mommy daddy story, So da 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 da. It's like a braid that goes on forever and echoing and echoing and echoing. And somehow there's all these people involved. And then here you are. Here I am. And I look back at all the times I opened that door and I'm like, the lover's card, cool. I'm in love. And I open that door and I'm like, what the fuck? Like, this isn't what I thought. Like, like, I just wanted it to be, I'm basic. I'm fucking basic AF. I want a vanilla ass romance. No bells and whistles. No crazy twists. No surprises. No, oh yeah, I actually have like several other girlfriends. Ta-da. Like, great, cool, whatever. Like, don't need it to be that crazy. So, why do I find that? Because my door, my ancestry door, is such. And that's not unique to me, that's a lot of people, but there's also this sort of weird overarching principle of like, if that's what I do, and if that's what I find, don't I want it? Where's the cognitive dissonance, you know, between what my ideal is and what I'm finding and doing? Where's the gap? And how do I change it? I don't fucking know. I do know that from observing my parents, who, if you've been listening to the show, broke up when I was little, remarried. My stepfather, who raised me or whatever, was abusive to me, and he also had many other secret girlfriends. You know, I just saw so much infidelity, and switching around. It was like a fucking big old courtyard do-si-do. Everyone's just swapping around, and inside of me there was like a cry for stability. And although your blood, your ancestry is an unbreakable bond that is an amorphous swimming pool of your own blood in your head, in your eyes, in your hands, whatever, like, you can't break that chain, but it feels like a goddamn ghost. So where did we get this attachment to the idea of courtly love? Was it just the popularization of it? Was it that? Was it the Tristane romances that just brainwashed us for centuries in the Western world? Was it hormonal ladies being like, oh, I gotta like square down a mate so that I can be protected while I'm in the cave, or whatever the fuck people say? I don't know. I'm not gonna pretend I know all these things, but I can say, how can a creature go from being strong, able, independent, adventurous, not afraid, to what the fuck is that? I'm so scared of it, and now I want to know what it is more. It's so compelling. It's like it is, again, it's like a primordial soul call. And it could be something that is not sexual and has other connections in your life that carries you forward, you know? So a lot of the Major Arcana is like a meditation for an individual, but then it goes on into a principle that exists with or without us, beyond us, and we all contribute to it, and then we fade away, and the principle remains long after we're extinct. But in my individual life, my other lovers who are not sexual lovers are my friends, who I love so fucking much. And I believe at the end of the day, these people, my friends, are my real true loves, you know? They're the ones that I felt a deep connection with, and sometimes it's not even that deep. Sometimes it's just like, hi, nice hat, whatever, you know? But that chance meeting of being inspired, having some kind of magnetism to keep going forward, creates something else. It creates true love. And I'm left wondering, at the edge of civilization, like, the world could pop at any moment. I'm quarantined in my room. I've been here for, I don't even know how long I've been in here by myself. And I'm left to think, like, my true loves in my life have been my dear friends, who've looked after me and talked to me, who've shared with me, and I with them. And that, to me, is the boldest love of all. But even though I cherish that, where the fuck is the heartbreak in that? Like, I mean, it's like the Bjork song, you'll be given love. You have to trust it. Maybe not from the direction you've been staring at. Maybe not in the sources that you've poured yours into. And that is a real thing, but it's a real kick in the balls of your heart. And the Lover's card can mean many things, but be cautious in knowing that sometimes your heart connections or that deep urge and connection to draw with another could be your being tugged by ancestral calls, where that isn't like a pixie dust magic aura. It's the conditioning of generations and generations of people watching other people when they've been very mentally vulnerable and malleable, see how, and then all the gaps, you know, the neglect, the abuse compiles, and they're looking for that person who kind of fits the shape and can work out some of that trauma of, and then blah 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 blah. Like, so that is all in your bag, honey. And when you're looking at someone, you're bringing that whether you like it or not. And then also, I don't know, the story's not finished, I guess, but I'd rather just feel like the part of me that was the eagle that was unafraid. And as I'm mapping the globe of my human soul and cataloging it for you through these sound waves and entering this zone, I gotta say, the Lovers creep me out. In the desert, I saw a creature, naked, bestial, who, squatting upon the ground, held his heart and his hands and ate of it. I said, "Is it good, friend?" "It is bitter, bitter," he answered. "But I like it because it is bitter and because it is my heart."